If you have a podcast and want to monetize it, stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
The Drive at 5. The stories driving today's headlines. Brought to you by ServiceMaster of Greater Pittsburgh. When disaster strikes, demand the yellow van. On 100.1 FM and AM 1020, KDKA.
All right, someone levied a pretty heavy accusation, and I want to get to the bottom of it. When this happens, you got to talk to him. You have to. Editorial over the weekend in the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette about the budget and the city budget. And pretty much the one that is proposed is nonsensical. Let me welcome in one of the smartest men I've ever met, Brandon McGinley, Pittsburgh Post-Gazette's editorial page editor. Hi, Brandon. How are you?
I'm doing all right, Colin. How are you?
Great. Let me read a graph, and it says this.
Sure.
Indeed, the purpose of this budget appears to be to leave Mr. Ganey's successor, presumptively Allegheny County Controller Corey O'Connor, in a maximally difficult situation. To me, the word that comes to mind is spite. Would I be correct?
Yeah, I mean, and we weren't the first ones to use that word. I believe a member of city council used that word to describe the budget. You know, these documents, they're confusing, and you could be very comfortable with numbers and look at the document and like, yeah, all the numbers add up. When you add up one and two, you make three, and everything seems fine. But for folks certainly who know how the city works, including members of council, and then for nerds like me who've spent a lot of time with these documents, things start to jump out at you pretty quickly. And in this case, you have things like the same tricks that were used last year to hide expenses, and you have gutting the mayor's office while your successor's waiting in the wings. You have budgeting for 0% increases for unions that are currently in negotiation when you know that they're going to have raises. It's the kind of thing that refuses to make hard choices.
Do you think that city council will make the hard choice and say no go?
That's a good question, and I think that they will. Actually, they didn't last year. When
you've built a great podcast, the content's solid, the audience is growing, but the money still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free, so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Many of the same tricks were basically being played on them because Ed Ganey still had a year left as mayor, and it wasn't clear if he would have four more years after that. But now that we know that this is the last 3 months of his administration, I think that members of council who last time were willing to go along with it are not going to be willing to do so this time.
Brandon McGinley, Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, joining right now. Very interesting opinion piece editorial in the Post-Gazette over the weekend about the mayor's proposed budget, and it says Mayor Ed Ganey's final budget proposal is an embarrassing document that confirms the wisdom of the electorate that denied him a second term in office. Where would the city be without Rachel Heisler's oversight?
Yes, so I think that's a great question. And I think that what Rachel has done, what the controller has done is bring to light things. Remember, I just said a moment ago, these are documents that are, if you're not a kind of professional nerd or a professional government person, they can be hard to figure out what's right or wrong about them.
Mm-hmm.
She has brought to light things that are wrong about them that would otherwise, that might otherwise not have been noticed or would only been talked about, on Grant Street. So I think that, unfortunately, on basically every turn, the administration has failed to heed the controller's advice and the controller's warnings. And I think, that I hope there will be a much more constructive relationship between Controller Heisler and the O'Connor administration.
What are one or two line items, or maybe just an overarching philosophy, that raises a big red flag in this?
Yeah. So, I mean, when it comes to hiding expenditures, the big thing is that they are still budgeting for far less overtime for, especially for public safety personnel, than they know will be required, especially when we have the NFL draft. Now, when the NFL draft was in Detroit 2 years ago, they have a 2,500 officer police force, and every single officer was expected to work all 3 days, no time off. That's tons of overtime, tons of overtime. The city of Pittsburgh has fewer than 700 police for a city that's only about half the size of Detroit these days, which is alarming. But the point is that we're clearly going to need all of our cops also to be working every single day. And we did not add a single dollar to the public safety overtime budget to account for that. In fact, we're still budgeting probably $5 to $10 million less than we know we're going to have to spend, even without the NFL draft. And there's no explaining that away. Last time you could say, oh, well, you know, maybe we expect there to be less overtime this year because we're making some changes. Well, they didn't make any changes. We still have an understaffed police department. We still have an understaffed EMS department. And those costs are, if anything, going to be going up. And yet we're budgeting as if they aren't. And this might sound nitpicky. It might sound like, nope, this is going to add up to $10 to $20 million. Okay. Mm-hmm. That is not budgeted for. We're budgeting for a surplus of only $500,000. By state law, you have to produce a balanced budget. So this $500,000 number is basically fake. To make the budget look balanced so that it fulfills the requirements of state law. When we know we're going to have to go $10 to $20 million in all likelihood into the reserves just to keep the government running. And that doesn't include the fact that after those operating numbers are handled, $10 million is coming out for the Stop the Violence Fund. $10 million is coming out for the Housing Opportunity Fund. $2.5 million is coming out for Ed Gainey's housing bond. And then another $10 million has to come out just to pay for basic capital expenses, like keeping roads paved and things like this. Most of that comes from federal and state money, but we still have to spend some of it ourselves. So there's a good chance we'd be looking at $40 to $50 million in the red next year, which would take pretty healthy reserves and start taking them to a really bad place.
Jeez. As an aside and sort of running in lockstep with this, has anybody audited the Stop the Violence Fund?
Controller Heisler did a report on it that was primarily, if memory serves, highlighted how little we know about the effectiveness of the organizations that were receiving money. I suspect that there will be, you know, a more financially based document at some point. I'm drawing a blank on the precise details of the Heisler report at this point. Mm-hmm. But I think that one of the things that was done in recent weeks was adding some more good government style requirements to the Stop the Violence Fund. But I wouldn't expect to see, I would expect to see a more accountable version of that in the years to come, because right now it's been pretty willy-nilly.
And last thing before I let you go, am I reading this right? And I'm just okay at best with numbers, but if you shake it all down, does Gainey's 2026 budget actually forecast a surplus of $500,000?
Because by law, you have to be in the black. So
that's a state law, right?
How does that work? Yeah, so state law, you have to be in the black. But the way that it is interpreted is that it is the operating budget alone. And so in Pittsburgh, we have added some requirements. These are required transfers that we make after the operating result is calculated. So we can be $500,000 in the black on the operating budget, but still have to dip tens of millions of dollars into the reserves to fulfill our requirement to fulfill our required transfers to things like the Stop the Violence Fund and the Housing Opportunity Fund. So to actually get through the year without dipping into the reserves, you actually need an operating result of more than $30 million, and we're budgeting for $500,000.
Feels like a shell game.
And I want to just point out also that This is the culmination of 4 years of mismanagement. And with this document, with this budget, the administration had a choice to take ownership of that and to make the hard choice to either cut back. They added over 200 people to the city payroll. They could have cut back on that. They could have raised taxes because there are structural issues here that a tax increase may be required regardless. In fact, almost certainly will be required regardless. They could have made the hard choice to own it. Instead, they're doing the same thing I've done the whole time, pass it off to the next guy, and pretend like everything's fine. And I'll tell you right now, the 4 years of mismanagement under the hood, only a very small part of that has been visible to the public. Only a very small part of that has manifested itself in the everyday experience of the city. If the city were visibly as dysfunctional as its government is, would be in far, far worse shape. And a lot of the decisions that have been made over the past 4 years, and especially if anything like this budget were passed, they are going to be reverberating for years and years to come. So that's something else to keep in mind, is that there's a delay between the choices that are made on Grant Street and their effects on the city, and we haven't seen all the effects yet.
Well, there we go. Happy Monday. Thank you so much, yeah. Brandon. Brandon McGinley, yeah. Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. I'll talk to you soon. I appreciate your insight, as always. Again, thanks.
Thanks, Colin.
Absolutely. Well, now you see why there was a scathing opinion piece in the Post-Gazette over the weekend. Tough to swallow. Woo!
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.